act right because it is the Big Kid Show. That's right. Another episode of the Big Kid Show. Sunday fun day here in the Big Kid household. I got two really big giant kids with me here today in the sandbox. They don't even fit in the sandbox. They're so big. Obscenely big kids. That's right. If this were airplane, they would have to buy three tickets. First up, I got Mr. B, and I got one of everybody's favorites, of course, Sweetwater Mark, joining me here once again for another Sunday fun day on the Big Kids Show. Today, we're going to do a little three questions, and there's something that's been on our minds for the past several weeks. And why is that? Because the NFL offseason so far, thus far, in 2024 has been, well, it's been a tornado of fun. Ooh. Right? People retiring, coaches not getting jobs. Like, one of the winningest coaches of all time couldn't find a job this offseason. That was strange. And then we got trades. We got the draft coming up. So much to discuss. So we thought we'd do a little three questions action with three of your favorite big kids, all talking about the big boy football league of the NFL. The questions that we are going to be asking and discussing here today on the Big Kids Show. First, favorite or most impressive trade or free agency acquisition? Number two, who has won the offseason so far and why? And number three, name a move or draft pick that one team should do in this year's NFL draft that is coming up very soon. It got sneaking up on us this year, I think.
Wow.
All right. The draft is Thursday, April 25th. And just tell your people, unless you're going to be in front of a TV and drinking beer, that you are not available. You're just not available that evening. Let's start things off. We got three questions. I'm going to go with Sweetwater Mark for our first question here. So, Mark, let us know your thoughts, your feelings, favorite or most impressive trade or free agency acquisition of the offseason.
So you came up with tough questions. The NFL is always tough, right? I mean, no matter which way you slice it. But I think for me, I had two specifically that I really struggled to narrow it down between. And I'm going to go with a rival of my Cincinnati Bengals, and that's going to be one Baltimore Ravens signing the king, Derrick Henry.
Oh, yeah.
I cried a little bit when I saw the news blip on this one. To me, you know, the Ravens already are tough. You know, in this division specifically with the Browns, with the Steelers, it's always tight. Even last year, I mean, the Steelers being competitive, even with all the quarterback issues that they had, and they shored that up a little bit, well, maybe this offseason as well. But the Ravens were already tough, and they kind of had just journeymen as their running backs. They didn't really have anybody. You know, J.K. Dobbins, as talented as I feel like he was,
just kept getting hurt.
Yeah, he couldn't stay healthy, you know, and I think it's obviously a very talented guy. And it's always a shame when that happens, when you get these guys that are extremely talented, but they just can't stay healthy. But Gus Edwards, I like him. He's a good running back, but is he a great running back? Does he scare anybody? Does anybody game plan for Gus Edwards specifically? No offense, Gus Edwards. Don't knock down my front door.
I know Gus Edwards.
Much larger and stronger than I am.
I just gave him your address and phone number.
Yeah. that's what that banging upstairs is. Okay. But, you know, to me, Derrick Henry, he's a beast of a man. And I think putting him in the backfield and giving them that run pass option, the RPOs that they like to run, it makes those even scarier, because now if Lamar decides to actually hand it off, it's going to an elite running back. I know he's a little up there in years, and yeah, you could probably make the argument that he's got a lot of miles on the tires, but I feel like with his size, people still don't want to tackle him.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 250.
Yeah. I mean, the guy looks like a linebacker or a defensive end, you know? I mean, he's as big as those guys.
Well, and what I think is impressive, because Marcus, that was one of the ones I was certainly looking at, was they got him at a pretty reasonable price.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
which is disappointing.
You know, no, I mean, like, I hate it for my Cincinnati Bengals, but I mean, they didn't overpay for this guy. It's like, I think he's guaranteed $9 million or something, and the contract was 2 years, $15 million.
Yep.
Yeah. Something along those lines. But again, it wasn't like this way overpaying, and they got this huge bruiser of a guy, and then Lamar Jackson can take off and he's lightning. They only improved their offense, I think, with that signing. So they're even scarier.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, like, their whole thing is the RPO. There's a lot of that with Lamar Jackson and trying to fool defenses where, you know, they don't know if they're going to hand it off to the running back or if Lamar's going to take off. And I think to have a true threat back there really, you know, really ends up making it an even scarier thing. I mean, to your point, the contract is not that it's only a two-year deal, right? So, I mean, I think he'll be 30 this year, he'll be 31 next year, which is up there for running backs. But again, with his size, I think he's going to be the exception in that case.
Yep.
I hated that move for many reasons, right? As a Cleveland Browns fan, I am programmed to dislike the Baltimore Ravens. Guess what? If the two teams played each other and they wore their throwback jerseys, it'd be the Browns versus the Browns. So
I'm so confused. There's a bunch of brown jerseys out there.
Well, that should tell you why I'm programmed to dislike them. So I hated the move because I'm afraid of the move, right? It's makes a scary team even more scary. And the other reasons why I disliked the move was I really wanted, if Henry wanted it, he was a player that I've loved. I enjoy watching him. I'm a huge fan of King Henry. And if he wanted to, I wanted him to be able to retire as a Titan, right? To be forever known as a Titan. Shoot, when you close your eyes and somebody tells you to picture a real life Titan, don't you picture a Derrick Henry type? And so I wanted him to have that option. But I think what it tells me as a fan of Derrick's that he's a very smart guy is my impression of him. And my guess is that he thought, I don't have to make a move out of desperation. I don't have to choose a team out of desperation. I've been very successful. I've got many accolades and I will be forever remembered as a great football player. Now, where do I best fit? And man, oh man, there's not too many better fits for King Henry than Baltimore. And that's what scares the heck out of me as a fan of another team from the AFC North. And I'm going to call an audible at the line there, Mark, because that was my pick as well. So let's circle over to Mr. B and let's hear his answer. Favorite or most impressive trade or free agency acquisition so far?
Well, I had a few. Of course, I already said that the Derrick Henry one was one of mine because I think, again, just going back to that, I think he could have got paid more somewhere else. But instead, he's like, who's primed to make a Super Bowl run right now? The Baltimore Ravens, they're in that conversation because of how tough they were last year, and they just got better. So, I mean, again, it's like he could make $2 or $3 more million a year, go somewhere, or he has a shot at winning a Super Bowl because – I mean, is he going to still be playing at 33? Doubtful.
But it is a little funny because he mentioned that he was surprised that Dallas didn't call him. And that was one of the teams he was really interested in going to. And then he had to kind of walk that back a little bit. Like, well, Baltimore is my first choice. But, yeah. You know, I am kind of surprised that he does seem like a perfect Cowboy fit. You know what I mean? For them, they don't have Pollard anymore. And obviously, Zeke is gone. You know, I've heard some whispering about Zeke potentially reuniting in Dallas, but even then, does that scare anybody? You know, at this point in his career, no. So. But yeah,
all right. So I'll get into mine here. So one of my other ones I thought was very interesting because to me, so this is another running back. Actually, I think this guy is an amazing running back that played for a crap team, and so my pick is going to be the Saquon Barkley move to Philadelphia.
Yes.
And so the reason why I like this guy just went from maybe the worst offensive lineman in the league to the best offensive line in the league. This guy's only 27. They paid a good amount of money. I think the contract was like 3 years, 37 and some change million. So he's up there with some of the higher paid running backs. But watch this guy go nuts for yards this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was putting up 1,000 yards with the Giants offensive lineman and no quarterback. So now he's got, you know, again, a contender for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he's ready to roll, son. So I think he's going to be scary tough this year. And I like that. I'm glad that he's also in the NFC. So,
but well, DeAndre Swift looked good with the Eagles. Not to say he isn't, but I mean, from where he was with Detroit and then to come into to Philly, I mean, he tore it up. And it's the same kind of thing with Jalen Hurts, right? I mean, you got a running threat now at quarterback, and you got a legit threat at running back as
well. And they have three, arguably maybe one of the better offense, or excuse me, wide receiver trios with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I like Dallas Goedert at tight end. So just adding him, I mean, this makes them just as scary. And I don't think they really lost anybody major on their team. I think obviously Jason Kelsey retired. Yeah. And their defensive tackle, Fletcher Cox, retired. But they didn't lose tons of people. So they're scary again this year in Philly.
Yeah.
Well, and now here's a little investing tip for everybody out there. See, this is why you tune into the Big Kid Show. You never know what tasty little knowledge nugget you're going to get when you tune in. We're just three incredibly handsome, successful guys that sit around and tell you all of the tools of the trade of being handsome and successful. Yes, that's what we do week after week. Everybody knows it. Here's a little investment tool. Jason Kelsey no longer has to contend with spending most of his time preparing to play professional football. And he's going to have a lot of extra time on his hands. And I have a feeling that a lot of it's going to be spent consuming beer. So go ahead and invest in beer in 2024, as Jason Kelsey will be consuming truckloads of beer every week during the NFL season. I was trying to figure out, we're a little too early, boys, to have a full... Oh, wait, here it is. So while the schedules are not out, remember they did announce teams playing, who will be playing each other in the 2024 season. Mm-hmm. We don't know the actual schedule yet, but we know the opponents for every team. Guess who is a home opponent for the Baltimore Ravens this year? The Philadelphia Eagles. So we're going to get a little Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley action versus Lamar Jackson, King Henry on the other side.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch. I bet you that one puts up some viewership numbers.
That screams Sunday night football or Monday night football, doesn't it? They are going to put that baby in prime time.
Faux show.
Yep. All right, so I'm going to pivot off of my original choice of Derrick Henry, just to give the listeners a little something extra. You know, one of the fun ones that I thought for the offseason was Jacoby Brissett to New England, which will give him another chance at getting a starting position. Everybody knows Big Nick, big Jacoby Brissett fan. He's like Cleveland stepdad. Jacoby. Yep. Yeah, he's like Cleveland stepdad. I'll go with and this is another one from the AFC North. I'm going to go with the whole quarterback carousel thing going over on in Pittsburgh, right? We bring in Russ Wilson, Super Bowl champion Russ Wilson. The Pittsburgh Steelers get him for basically nothing. They're like, here's
like
a bag.
Was it like $1 million or something?
They're like, here's a bag of nails and a 12 inch sub. And they're like, cool, we'll take it. And so they bring in Russ Wilson for nothing. And then Mr. Kenneth Pickett starts crying, like, Brown and Russell Wilson, I shouldn't have to compete. I'm a local hero. And so Tomlin's like, no, sirree, Bob, we do not tolerate. There's no crying in baseball, Kenneth Pickett.
Especially not in Pittsburgh.
So he sees Kenneth Pickett crying in the corner, and he has a little meeting with the GM, and they're like, you know what? Let's see how hard this kid can cry. Let's bring in Justin Fields. We happen to have another bag of nails and a 12-inch sub sitting around. We'll trade that bag of nails in a 12-inch sub over to Chicago. Again, they get another great – I shouldn't say great. He's a little bit unproven, of course. But we've expressed fandom and appreciation potential. For Justin Fields.
Yeah, lots of potential there.
Speaking of nails, he's tough as nails. They're going to bring in Justin Fields. And of course, they're saying Russ Wilson's got the job. Everybody knows Fields is going to have the opportunity to compete for the job. And oh, man. And then they say, hey, Mr. Kenneth Pickett, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on your way out, son.
Dropping ass on the way out.
And I should be fair. As a young quarterback, there were times that I saw some flashes with Kenny Pickett. So I don't want to say that he's a nothing and never will be a nothing. I think that he did show a little bit of immaturity during the portion of bringing in Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson's not going to play quarterback for 10 more years.
Well, and maybe that was their factors. Once he started acting, that he might even instantly said, get rid of me. And they're like, well, all right, we don't want you mm-hmm. on the team. We want someone that wants to be here and win. So take a walk.
Well, now you're definitely a backup in Philly. I mean, he went from potentially being a backup to absolutely being a backup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say he really improved his situation, but I digress.
Yeah.
Well, and big dollars too that they paid to Jalen Hurts. So they're not going to pay Jalen all that money to sit on the bench and back up Kenny Pickett.
Oh, no.
You know,
even if they try to compete, it's not even going to be close. I mean,
if Hurts has a bad couple games, Pickett doesn't have a shot, because a lot of times these contracts dictate who the guy under center will be. I've seen it in Cleveland for the past 2 years. So you can't tell me any different. But they bring in Russ Wilson for almost nothing. They bring in Justin Fields for, remember last offseason, they were talking about maybe 2 first-round picks to try to get Justin mm-hmm. Fields. And then it turned into 2 second-round picks. And what did they end up getting him for? Like a 5th round and then a 7th-round swap or something?
It was something where I was almost like, wow, like they just, that was weird. Like almost like you guys could have probably got more. I think they just wanted to unload his contract or something. It had to have been some kind of financial shift or something.
Well, yeah, I think you're onto something there, because I think that he never got to where they hoped that he would be. And now you're forced to, there's a date coming up, and I think it might be before the start of the season, that they have to figure out, do we sign him to his 5th-year option or not?
Yep.
There's a deadline for that. And the 5th-year option, even though you're still technically on that rookie contract, that goes up to like $15 million a year. Well,
yeah,
you can draft a guy in the 1st round, which they will do, Caleb Williams, and they're not going to have to pay him anywhere close to $15 million for probably the next 3 years or so, unless he's incredibly awesome. So, yeah, I'll go with the quarterback carousel. Again, I think it scares me a little bit as a Browns fan, because I do think at the end of the day, as much as I love the Browns and I by proxy root for the Bengals for you guys when they're not playing the Browns, I do think that the AFC North got better. And unfortunately, when they did, I think that the Ravens on offense got better. I think they got worse on defense. The Steelers, I think, got better all around.
Yeah, no, it's the AFC North just beats the crap out of each other, unfortunately. And that's why, I mean, if you look at it, all the teams are tough. It's just we beat each other up. So it's like, come on, man.
I mean, I think Justin Fields makes me a little nervous, because you can see that glimmer of hope and glimmer of talent that could potentially come out. Now, I know
I remember that feeling.
Yeah. You're hoping. I mean, look, I friends with and work with some Pittsburgh Steelers fan, had the conversation. It was like, look, Kenny Pickett to me was Andy Dalton. He was going to be a guy that, yeah, he's probably going to be somewhere in the middle to bottom half of the league.
A 20 something quarterback where he's good. He's better than most, but he's never going to be the top 10 guy.
Yeah. And then you traded him basically for Russ. Who knows what Russ is? I don't even think anybody knows what Russ is anymore at this point. We'll find out. I have a feeling this year.
He could come out and have a, you know, Pro Bowl season. And
yeah, absolutely. And then you've got Justin Fields, who can be a bottom of the league quarterback at times and a top 10 quarterback at times. So you lose the stability, but you get the highs and lows, which is kind of where quarterbacks typically run into problems. So it's going to be interesting to see
see if they do like a whole, you know, Russ Wilson's the starter, but then Justin Fields comes in and does the whole wildcat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because team defenses hate that when you're like, crap, all right, different quarterback in. Now what are they doing? And Justin Fields can still pass the ball, but now you got this kind of two different,
you know, sides. This is what I would do. If I'm the Pittsburgh offensive coordinator, they're probably going to hire me after I give them this idea.
Yep.
I'd put both quarterbacks in the backfield. Who are you hiking it to? I have no idea.
Russell Wilson's not running the ball and he's not blocking. So
yeah, exactly. But they don't know. They don't know if Justin Fields is going to catch it and take off running, or, you know.
I also think that there's the one kind of potential glitch with that. Russ Wilson also doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to hand the ball off to Fields or look to pass to him. He'll like conveniently overlook Fields and move the ball elsewhere. The thing here that scares me, though, is Mike Tomlin. You know what he wants to do, right? Like, this is his goal. Every time they game plan, he's like, you know what? We have to figure out a way to win this game 17-13.
Yeah.
And
touche.
Russ Wilson does not have to be Peyton Manning to win a lot of 17-13 games. He can be Russ Wilson that played with the Legion of Boom and win those type of games. Justin Fields, for 3.5 of his 4 seasons in Chicago, played with a dog shit defense.
Yep.
And
mediocre offense at that. So, I mean, it's like, it's going to be a fun one to watch. I'm curious to see, especially through training camp, how that kind of progresses with, I mean, especially what could be scary is if Russell Wilson and Fields really start bonding too. And you're like, uh-oh, that could get scary. So it'll be fun to watch.
100%.
It will be fun to watch. We know that. Well, I think we belabored that a little long there, gentlemen, but we're having fun. So let's move on to question number 2. Mark, we'll tee you up again, my friend. Who has won the offseason so far and why, in your opinion?
I'm sorry, fellas, if I end up stealing yours again, but I think there is a clear, in a way, winner this offseason.
And bastard, I think
to be the Houston Texans.
Ah, good pick.
It has to be the Houston Texans.
You know what? I'm just going to agree. I also had the Houston Texans. They, by far, and just they won the free agency, in my opinion. So go ahead,
let's
Mark.
Let's go through it real quick. So a couple key guys that they re-signed. They re-signed Derek Barnett on the defensive line. They re-signed Dalton Schultz, the tight end, and their kicker. I still don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Kaimi Fairbairn?
You just say Fairbairn.
Yeah, Fairbairn or something like that. We said it 4 different ways, the 3 of us.
He's the kicker.
He's good. He's really good.
He knows how good he is.
So we compliment him. This haul in offensive or in a free agency, you've got Stephon Diggs, who they just recently traded for. You've got Danielle Hunter from the Minnesota Vikings, who is a beast on the defensive
line. Yeah, he's scary.
Put him next to the guy that they drafted, Will McDonald, last year. They got Joe Mixon from the Bengals. Say what you want, but he's still got some decent yardage and still, I think, in a good platoon situation, can still give you some positive stuff. They got Jeff Okuda, who was a first-round cornerback on a 1-year deal, so it's kind of a prove-it deal. DeNico Autry on the defensive line. One of the good linebackers from the Titans, Azeez Al-Shaair. That guy was really good. Mike Ford, a DB from Cleveland. They got probably the best punter in the game, Tommy Townsend from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did a lot, and they already have a ton of key pieces. And I have a feeling in the draft, it's going to be a continuation of last year, which was a lot of good selections. And you've got CJ Stroud, who's on a rookie quarterback deal. You can tell that that's what they're looking to do, is take advantage of him while he's in that window. I mean, teams that can take advantage of that rookie quarterback contract, That's where you can really make some noise. And they were my dark horse last year to make a run for the Super Bowl. They kind of reminded me of the 2021 Bengals, you know, kind of came out of nowhere and just really, really played solid. And honestly, were a lot of fun to watch.
Well, it's crazy, though, because if you remember the beginning of last year, they were projected to be one of the worst teams.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. So the fact that they clearly outdid that and then they just made their team exponentially better. I mean, like I even saw some of the statistics of just by them signing or trading for Stephon Diggs, like, you know how they do all those odds of like chances of making the playoffs and like CJ Stroud being a MVP, like they all shot up drastically just by the move from Stephon Diggs to the team.
Anybody who bet on CJ Stroud a couple months ago to be MVP next year, they're like, yes.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, look at their receivers now. You got Tank Dell had an amazing rookie year. Mm-hmm. You have Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. Those are their three. Dalton Schultz is tough.
One of the best trio in the league right there.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially. I mean,
it's up there. And then again, we said Joe Mixon and then that Damian Pierce, who's just on year number two, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be interesting to watch. So they're going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hence why I had them as well. Like I'm looking at all the teams. The only other one I would think maybe would be close is we already mentioned them is I think the Steelers. Yep, with some of the moves they made. So they are pretty close to doing quite well in the free agency. But yep. Mark, you're a smart man. That's why you picked the Texans.
That's right. I mean, I will say this is a little bit of a carryover from our first question, but I will give the Falcons some credit because I think just bringing in Kirk Cousins alone with what they've got is a good solid addition. Kirk Cousins to me is like so underrated. That guy he's like a better version of Andy Dalton. He's probably fringe top 10, but not quite. But that's a pretty damn good quarterback. And you put him with the offense that Atlanta has, they're going to potentially make some noise too.
Yep. But plus, if you haven't watched the quarterback thing on Netflix, yeah. you will love Kirk Cousins even more after watching.
I want to invite him over for tea and cookies.
He's like the nicest
guy in the world.
Secretly, he's my best friend already. He bumped both of you down a peg. I just want to hang out with Kirk Cousins.
Exactly.
You see this Kirk.
We love you.
He's by far the star of the show. Like, and they, every intention was for Patrick Mahomes to be the star, but, and Patrick Mahomes is very fun to watch on that program, but
I don't know. I feel like I liked Patrick Mahomes less after watching it.
Nobody could hold a candle to Kirk. Like he ended up becoming like one of my favorite human beings after
exactly.
watching.
Nailed it. That part good for him for getting paid.
Where he's like, oh shoot. Looks like I burned a hole in my sweatshirt. Oh, and he's like, darn it. This was darn my it, favorite gosh. Sweatshirt. This was my bonfire sweatshirt. The man has got a bonfire sweatshirt.
That's my favorite.
It has a hole in it now, Mark.
And him, when I saw him walking off the field, gosh darn it, son of a
hey,
biscuit. Hey,
no need to curse. Be a good person.
Yeah, he's a good role model for his kids and all the kids of America out there.
When I saw that they gave him the contract he did, I was like, good for him. I think he deserves that. And I think he's going to bring that same intensity to Atlanta. And watch out. I think Atlanta's going to do quite well. I see them putting up at least 10 wins this year, and they're going to be tough.
Just last thing on Kirk Cousins, because I know he wasn't even really an official selection, but the fact that when you watch that documentary and how he played so hurt.
Yeah.
That to me,
like, man football.
Being the nice guy, but like teaming that with just understated being a tough mother. Like, honestly, it was like, wow. I mean, I think he had like a cracked rib at some point, and he's just out there slinging it.
And every time you throw the ball, it's like someone stabbing you in the ribs.
Gosh, I couldn't even imagine. Yeah.
So, hey, Kirk Cousins, one of the big kids team's favorite.
For sure.
Well, here's the thing, too. I want to be clear. We should be, I'm so happy that he got that big contract. Kirk Cousins has managed to be available whenever it comes time to sign a quarterback for a whole bunch of money. Like he's
gotten lucky.
He might not be the best quarterback ever to play the game. He might be the smartest one when it comes to making money. So we don't need to go, oh, I'm so glad that he got
can afford that. A new sweatshirt, his new bonfire sweatshirt. Well,
but because he's a likable guy is why I like to see that. I guess that's why.
For sure.
You know, you got some of these complaining prima donna quarterbacks and the ones that I'm not playing because my pinky hurts or something. And it's like, no, he's out there with busted ribs and, you know, just go Kirk. He's the man.
So apparently he made less than $1 million in each of his first four NFL seasons. So he put in his time. He really had to work to put in his time. His salary jumps up to more than $19 million when he got the franchise tag in Washington in 2016. He played on the franchise tag for even more money in 2017. I think that was like $24 million before signing a fully guaranteed 3-year, $84 million deal with the Vikings in 2018. Then he signed a 2-year extension with Minnesota, where he inked a 2-year, $66 million deal that ran through 2022 before signing a 1-year, $35 million extension through 2023.
Hey, Kirk, and then help me out.
Yeah.
I need some money.
And then what did he sign for? 4 years, $180 million at Atlanta. Oh, yep. My goodness.
Well, and if you look, though, I mean, he bet on himself with a lot of those contracts. You know, a lot of these guys are saying, no, I want guaranteed money. He said, no, I'll play on the franchise contract. I'll do this 1 year at a time. And yeah, him and his family are good.
Do you have any idea how many guitars I would have if I had that kind of money?
No, you would own Guitar Center. Literally, you would buy Guitar Center.
So before, well, he'd buy Sweetwater.
Sweetwater.
Oh, yeah. Not, of course. Sorry.
Come on.
But
now.
Before. Yeah. Yeah. Guitar Center, that's what, Justin Fields type money? No, we're talking about Kirk Cousins money, baby.
Forget about
Kirk Cousins made $231.6 million from NFL contracts through 2023 before signing for $180 million for 4 years with the Falcons. So before he signs for $180 million, he was the fourth highest paid player in NFL history.
Yep. I love that.
I love him. And here's the, and he's worried about a hole in his favorite Bonfire shirt. Kirk, I don't know how you'll afford to replace it. He's got a hole in his shirt and I've got a hole in my heart. That just wants Kirk Cousins to be the happiest man all on the planet.
We've been on Kirk way too long. Big Nick, hit us the team that you think won the free agency.
I was going to say, thank you. I forgot what we were even talking about.
Yeah, what were we even talking about?
I do want to, I'm not going to attempt to say it. I sent it to both of you guys, but the kicker for the Houston Texans, I will put his name, his full name and spelling in the show notes for today. So yes. I know that most people never look at the show notes. After you're done listening to today's episode, or if you would just want to hit pause right now, look at this man's name. It's the craziest name I've ever seen. I'm not going to attempt to say it. He was born in Hawaii. I'm very jealous of these Hawaiian names. They got the coolest names ever.
Super cool.
If I get a second time around on this big blue marble, I hope I come back as Hawaiian. All right. Here we go. Who has won the offseason and why? In Big Nick's opinion, you know what? I think there's going to be some boos, right? I'm gonna say the team, and I think there's going to be some boos thrown Big Nick's way. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know it sounds like a strange pick because they didn't do any big or flashy moves, but hear a brother out. Hear me out, all right?
Okay, all right. We'll give you a chance.
Two-time back-to-back NFL champions, all you really got to do is keep everybody you got and try to run it back, right? And they managed to do that. I think that Chris Jones is one of the best defensive players in the league. I don't think he gets enough credit. I don't think that the NFL fandom as a whole understands how good and disruptive this guy is and what a meaningful and impactful player he is for that defense. He's the glue of that defense. Without him, the rest of it doesn't work. I hate that they let Snead go, but I also wonder, was Snead a product of the system, of a great defensive system? You know, their defensive coach, what was his name? Spagnuolo. He was offered a head coaching job and he's like, nah, I kind of like things here. Kind of like it where we're winning championships, bro. So
give me that ring, son.
Son.
I know it's not a popular pick. I don't know. I'm not convinced that the Chiefs are able to hit for a third straight Super Bowl. I don't think that will happen. But I think that they are the winners of the offseason because I think, for me, nobody was impressed with them making the playoffs, obviously. A lot of people thought they should have had a better regular season record than what they had. But once they got to the playoffs, they proved that in the biggest spots, when it counts the most, nobody can beat them. Right now, that's who they are. Nobody can beat them when it comes time for do or die football. you know, win in advance or lose and go the F home. And guess where they don't go is home. They just keep winning and they keep advancing. And so for that reason, among several others, I'll go with the Kansas City Chiefs as the winner of the offseason so far. Third and final question, boys. Third and final question. How much Kirk Cousins conversation will we have during the third and final question remains to be seen. But the third and final question, boys, is name a move or draft pick that one team should do in this year's NFL draft. So a move or draft pick, obviously, we all know what draft pick is. A move could be a trade, right? Let's make a move, make a trade with another team. Could be a trade for a player that's already on a roster. Could be a pick swap, pick trade. Sweetwater, Mark. And you know what occurred to me today, Mark? With the great people over at Sweetwater, selling the guitars. You know, there's the Sweetwater Brewing Company. I think they're out of Florida.
I've seen. Yeah, I've actually had some of their beverages. They're tasty.
Sweetwater 420.
And now we got Sweetwater Mark. I mean, Sweetwater is
associated with either.
2024 could be the year of the Sweetwater.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Not only is it delicious, but it'll play sweet music through your ears.
That's right. And the more Sweetwater beer you drink, the better Big Nick sounds.
That's right. The better we get. At least in your own ears. So I'm going to go a little Homer on this one, guys.
God bless America.
To me, am I stealing your idea again?
Well, I kind of thought I'd maybe get to go first once here, but never mind. Go ahead.
Why don't you go first? Let's switch it up.
No, I don't want to.
Wait, time out on the field. I'm the host. I can do this. Time out on the field.
Audible.
We are, Mark, save your answer. We're going to just kind of put you on pause for a second.
Well, no, I want him to go because clearly I already know where he's going. So, Marcus, go.
Okay. No, Mark. I insist, Mr. B.
It's fine, buddy. It's fine.
I am just Mr. B's puppet. So, Mark, you get to go now. All right.
You do what I say. So, because mine was also the Homer pick, and there's only one team that I follow hardcore. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. You know that. I know that. Everyone knows that. And I think the biggest thing the Cincinnati Bengals should do in the draft this year is trade down.
Ooh, okay.
So I think because if we really look at, we did lose a lot of people. We lost DJ Reader. We lost Awuzie, our cornerback. Joe Mixon, we actually wanted to get rid of. We actually released him, and then at the last second, we traded him. So we clearly didn't want him. So not a lot of losses from the team. The only one that's still pending is T. Higgins. But I think with the pick that we have, I hope that they just go defensive tackle and offensive line. I feel like they could trade down and still get that because the draft class is pretty deep to where they could, even if it's getting a draft pick next year or getting 2 second-round picks and go down a couple spots, I think the Bengals would be smart to do that instead of just reaching for some guy. Like, I hope they don't pick a wide receiver at their pick. I really hope they don't do that.
John Ross in the draft this year?
He's fast and terrible. So again, because I follow the Bengals so much, I really think the best thing they could do is trade down, add another pick, whether it be this year or add another pick next year, and, you know, get what they need, which is really defensive tackle, defensive line, and offensive line.
And just so everybody knows, the Cincinnati Bengals currently have the 18th pick overall, the 18th pick in the first round. So Mr. B is advocating for them to trade down to get probably a couple guys in the second round, as you say.
Well, and I guess it depends on, like, usually these trades don't happen till really close to your pick. If there's a team that really wants a guy, like, I'm curious about that Bowers kid, how quick he's going to come off that tight end at Georgia.
Georgia, yep.
You know,
he's a beast too.
He's an intriguing pick, but I think the Bengals picking him, as much as he'd be cool to be on the team, it's like, you know, I don't know if with our offense and our kind of thing, our tight ends have never really been our thing. You know, we've never really had a dominant tight end in years. I mean, think about when's the last awesome tight end we had on the Bengals. You can't think of one.
It's like he got a good sports car and they're like, hey, I got these fresh rims. You want to put these new rims on it? But we still need a back bumper to put on the car. Yeah.
Like, and the steering wheel doesn't work. And the gas pedal fell off.
Family Guy, where they open the hood and it's just a drawing of an engine that's inside of the car.
Yeah. Take care of Joe Burrow. Let's toughen up the defense, you know. But that's my take. So thank you for letting me go first.
Yeah, you were close. I mean, I don't think I would have completely spoiled you, but I think I definitely agree with your logic. I think So the big talk about this draft has been the offensive tackle class and how strong it is and how there's so many guys. There's a few that make me a little nervous, like some of the guys who haven't played a ton. And then, you know, there's like six or seven that I think are probably in the conversation. So to me, if those guys don't go as quickly as you think, 2000% in your camp, Mr. B. You trade down 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spots, whatever it is. If you can pick up an extra third round pick, fourth round pick, or get something next year in the second, third, fourth.
Exactly.
That's a huge pickup. But, and see, this is where I struggle a little bit. Defensive tackle is a huge need.
Yeah. After losing Reader.
Yeah, that was a really big loss, and I kind of wish they had been a little more aggressive with DJ Reader. I think he was more than just a player on the line. I think he was a leader in the locker room. So I think they may have misjudged that one a little bit. And he actually had an interview a couple weeks ago where he had mentioned that, yeah, they didn't even come talk to me until free agency started. And I think that kind of hurt his feelings.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, that's dumb.
You feel slighted, and you're like, hey, I had a great year. And I mean, defensive tackles never show it on the stat line. They show it when they're double and triple teamed. And you're like, hey, look, this is how dominant I am. It takes three dudes to stop me because I'm 360 pounds.
Well, and over at The Athletic, Paul Dana Jr., one of the writers for the Bengals, did a great article, and he shows that pretty much you don't get an elite defensive tackle outside of the first round. It just doesn't happen. There's not a guy that the rare exception is like a Geno Atkins, but those don't happen very often.
No, and you're taking a gamble on guys that can keep that strength, weight, speed all up there. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge gamble. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting, but I still feel like in my mind, they almost have to go offensive tackle, because as much as I like the signing, who's the guy they got from New England? I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden. Brown.
Yeah.
Trent Brown.
No, I like that pick too, because he's huge. God, he's a monster. Yeah, I like as well.
It, but he's injury prone.
Yep.
So if he gets injured, what are you doing? Right. Or yep. if Orlando Brown Jr. gets hurt, what are you doing right now? Now, all of a sudden, you've got Jackson Carmen playing left tackle. I don't know how I feel about that. So I think they have to get a tackle because you have to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, that's just, if it comes down to, do I trust a shootout versus stopping the run slightly more? Give me the shootout. I think Joe can.
Touche. And I see your logic behind that as well.
Can run that.
Yeah. And I hope with that signing of Trent Brown that even if they get an offensive lineman in the second round and maybe even a guy like in the fifth round, you got guys that can learn and not be forced to start because, you know, obviously jumping from college to NFL is a whole different.
Yeah, Andrew Whitworth was a second round pick, and he played guard for a year, you know, and then he's a tackle.
Yeah, and possibly a Hall of Fame. Yep. You know, offensive lineman.
Absolutely. So good choice, Mr. B. I'm right there with you.
Mark, you're a smart man. That's why.
I try. It's all that sweet water I drink and play.
He's very handsome and very successful. Keep that in mind. And if anybody was wondering, so I did a little fact checking while hearing your wonderful, incredible, brilliant answers about choosing the Bengals there, but we forget that the Bears traded up 9 spots in the 2021 draft to go up and get Justin Fields. They gave up a 4th-round pick. So they swapped 1st-round picks. But on top of that, they gave a 4th-round pick and a 1st-round pick in the next year's draft and a 5th-round pick in the next year's draft to go up and get him.
Yeah.
They let him go to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 6th-round pick in next year's draft. Ooh. A 6th-round pick in next year's draft. Oh, gosh. Goodness. All right. So for my answer, look, this is not going to blow anyone's skirt up here, but
Cleveland Browns.
No, I'm going to go with the Houston Texans.
Oh.
A lot of talk of the Houston Texans on today's show, and why shouldn't it be? We're talking about the offseason, and they have certainly had an impressive offseason. And in fact, last year in the regular season, I believe they were probably about 2 years ahead of schedule of where they thought maybe that they would be. I mean, they really took off last year, knocking out the Browns in the playoffs. And look, I think this year what you got to do, you got a lot of flashy weapons in the offseason, and you got a lot of great, cool dudes for Stroud to throw the ball to, right? You had a bunch already and you added to that arsenal. I think what you got to do too is let's not sleep on protecting the quarterback. They had good success doing it last year, but I think you can add to your offensive line stable. And that's what I would do. Unfortunately, the Texans, because they moved up to go offense defense in the first round last year, they have no first round pick this year. But what they do have is 2 second round picks. They have the 42nd overall pick and they have the 59th overall pick. And so if I want everybody to understand, nobody's paid me a dime to GM any team, especially in the NFL.
Yet.
But just like Mark, who has already in job offer talks with several teams in the NFL after his
brilliant. We might lose him from the podcast.
Mid-episode. It might. I'm still waiting on the call. I mean, anything can happen, boys. So
what they don't know, though, is that we have franchise tagged Mark, and he can't go anywhere. He's under contract. Damn it!
We franchise tagged him for $80 and a bunch of Reese cups.
Yeah. And a 22-ounce can of Budweiser.
My favorite candy bar. Anyway.
Mark, you either play for us or you sit out the season, sir. That's how it's going to go. But what I would do is... And they have a defensive-minded coach, too. So if you were to tell me that we're going to get help on defense with our second pick in the second round, you'd have no arguments from Big Nick. But what I think is you don't need any toys. You don't need any weapons, so to speak, on the offensive end with your 2 second-round picks. I would go offensive line, personally, maybe 2 of them. And look, I'm not a guy that sits around scouting out offensive line guys, so I don't even have names to throw at you guys here, but I have some suggestions. Look, I think they overthink this general manager business here in the NFL. It can't be that hard. And I'll tell you what, do I need to scout a whole bunch of offensive linemen? Do I need to spend my time? No, I got a family. I got friends. I got a GD life to live. Who wants to sit around watching film on offensive linemen? Not even offensive linemen. So here's what you do. You have some schools that just pump out great offensive linemen year after year. I'm just going to go get one of those dudes, right? Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. Boom. I'll find me a guy. You go and you get you some big ass dudes from some big ass schools. And that's Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. Nailed it.
Maybe Nailed Notre it. Dame.
Notre Dame, not a bad choice either.
Yep. No, you're right. I mean, I think with what we've talked about, the Texans with all the offensive weapons that they have, and I mean, hell, a lot of defensive line weapons already. It's not like they have huge needs in that department. You're right. I mean, take a ton of shots at getting the best offensive line in the league. And if you can protect Stroud and he proves that he's not going to throw a ton of interceptions, especially when he's got some time. I mean, you might be on your way, you know, to a big fat ring on your finger if you play it right.
And watch our boy Mixon have the greatest season of his career.
Yeah, for him, I hope he does, man. I never disliked Mixon. You know, obviously there was stuff back in college, but you know, he's a likable guy while he's here. He became a good citizen. So
he's always been just one bad night away from never playing football again, though.
Yeah. He's brandished a handgun a few times and maybe there was a shooting at his house, but you know, hey, we'll gloss over that.
He wasn't there when that happened,
all right?
Well, and you know,
he was at my house, all right.
You know what scares me? Isn't the city of Houston, like the 4th or 5th most populous city in the United States? Does he go down? Can you imagine acting a fool on that scale compared to Cincinnati, Ohio? Like, I don't think it's a good fit. I don't know that he's going to survive.
Hopefully, in their contract, they put down that he has a chaperone.
Yeah. I don't know if he survives the concrete jungle of Houston. I don't know if he can, but here's the thing. Back to Stroud, though. I think Stroud is something really special, and you guys are very lucky because you have a quarterback that is very special. I have a quarterback that's a different kind of special. Like, he belongs in a straitjacket. But
or at least on the list.
Keep the lotion away from that guy.
I hope when he moved to Cleveland, he had to knock on all the doors and inform the people that he was living there.
Hi, I'm Deshaun Watson. I moved into your neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, you're a quarterback. That's not why I'm knocking.
Yeah.
You're a Browns player. Yeah, that's not the
Cincinnati Bengals rolled the dice season after season, throwing their very special quarterback in harm's way. And we talked about it many times. Mm-hmm. And look, they've had a lot of success because of Joe Burrow. You don't want to do all these moves in the offseason and have the 2023 season that you did with the Houston Texans and then go out there and then this Stroud kid is knocked out for the season game two or three of this season. Let's put bubble wrap around this guy and a whole bunch of big dudes with big butts that love to push other big dudes around. And let's protect this guy because you got something special right here and let's keep it special for a long time.
Agreed. And I think, 100%. Especially, I think in the more recent NFL era, you start to see the importance of like the teams that have the arguably the top offensive linemen. They do well, even if the offensive weapons around them aren't great. Because these quarterbacks, they're all amazing on some level. And if they just can have that extra second or two, they're making plays. I mean, this thing about even the worst, the backup quarterbacks in the NFL are amazing quarterbacks, but there's a big difference of getting 2 seconds versus 3.5 seconds to throw the ball.
Exactly.
100%. Exactly.
All right, boys, you know what? I love the NFL, and even more so, I love talking NFL with the two of you. And I hope that all the big kid listeners out there loved listening to us talk NFL. And you know what? Get on social and tell Kirk Cousins how much you love him. He needs it. You know, he likes to hear it. We got to pump him up. He's got a big ego. Got to pump him up. But
we got to do a GoFundMe so we can replace his sweatshirt.
Maybe he wants to invest in a budding podcast with three young gentlemen.
What if we send him a sweatshirt with the Big Kids logo and be like, this could be your new campfire bonfire sweatshirt. Boom.
Love it.
Look, I know I went to public school, but my math on this tells me that he's made, by the end of this contract, he will have made $400 million playing football. God bless him.
That seems like a good amount.
That's a lot of rolling papers. I'll tell you. A lot of rolling papers. All right. Hey, before we wrap up today, everyone, I want to give a shout out to the Notorious ANG, who gave us a 5-star review on Apple podcast platform. He said that our show, the Big Kid Show, is perfect for an 80s kid. He said that these guys are clearly longtime friends. That he's talking about us, in case you didn't know, talking about the three of us. They are clearly longtime friends, and it shows with their witty banter. Whoa, somebody threw in the word witty. That's a new witty one. And they are all funny, which makes the episodes go quickly, and I find myself laughing out loud on my commute to work. Well, do a very happy and safe commute to work, Mr. Notorious ANG, from now on.
Cheers, buddy.
And hey, thanks for the 5-star review, and thanks to everyone out there in Big Kid Listener Land for tuning in this Sunday and every Sunday. All this nonsense we just discussed today, just more proof that we're all just big kids.
See you.